Blog Talk Radio.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal. But it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's ground with agarden.com.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. We are starting a little bit later. Some of the ads weren't working at the beginning, so we had a little bit issue with that, so I still want to make sure we got enough ads in before starting the show. But we are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as here to give support, to talk about different aspects and issues on any level that, you know, tie into barefooting, and that could be positive or negative. You know, we get into a wide variety of topics, I would say, with this show. And there are times where, you know, we do kind of stick to a lot of the same, you know, core things, like remembering that, you know, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. Unfortunately, most people don't realize this, you know, buying into outdated propaganda and outdated fear even. But then at the same time, there are real, you know, safety risks and, you know, issues within our society that we still need to address. And unfortunately, you know, we often don't even underlie or get into the underlying root issues of these social threats. If you don't feel like it is safe for your children to barefoot while they play, you know, that might reflect on the general environment, the general infrastructure, the general just social environment, the general risk factors that are associated with, you know, these environments. Unfortunately, you know, there are risk factors with kids going to school, you know, and not even just, you know, walking to school. You know, of course, there's always that, you know, issue in mind, but unfortunately, you know, school shootings are a very real thing. And so there are real reasons why I can understand why people may not feel comfortable with their children barefooting in the classroom because of these, you know, safety threats. If your school has already been targeted, is known to be targeted, the area is a high risk, you know, to these kind of events. And just in general, it can happen, you know, anywhere, unfortunately. And this isn't to scare people. I just feel like, you know, we don't talk about this enough. And I think, you know, have your opinion on issues. You know, I'm not here to tell people what to believe, but I often think that barefooting has a key role in education and learning. But if we're going to look at the education learning system, we have to look at all of the risk factors for children involved. And that is the number one risk factor to children is school shooting. And I'm sorry, I have no intention of triggering anybody. But, you know, I feel like that is something today that I was just thinking about, like, you know, that is a real barrier in people feeling comfortable with their kids even going to school. You know, I've had some people in my life with kids talk about this recently. And, you know, personally, I don't have kids, but, like, I'm a nanny, so I still get it. You know, safety every time I'm with them is something that I'm preaching and I'm talking about, you know, like, safety, 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 you know, like, and it's, you know, because anytime I set a rule or a boundary with these kids, and I think the same goes for, you know, most reasonable parents, is it's rooted in safety. But, you know, children can often have a hard time understanding that this isn't to control them. It isn't to, you know, take away their autonomy, you know, that the rules and boundaries we set are to protect them. But at the same time in our society, there are a lot of quote-unquote rules and maybe quote-unquote boundaries that really don't exist for a valid reason and are only in play to harm and discriminate against each other. And then it's hard because, you know, anybody that, you know, cares about children and wants to work, you know, with the youth and with children, with, you know, development, education, health care, anything like that, to just better society in any kind of way, and, you know, starting with the young people, you know, you really have to take into consideration safety, boundaries, autonomy, rules, you know, and just because a child is a child doesn't mean that they're not a person. They still have thoughts, they still have feelings, they still have needs, they still have things that they are experiencing. And that doesn't mean that you don't set rules and boundaries that are meant to protect them and to protect other people and are meant to maintain respect for all. But at the same time, it's crazy how many parents and just general people, when interacting with kids, will demand respect, but then don't listen to their bodies or their autonomy or anything of the such. And it's just incredibly harmful, you know. But then it's hard because, you know, getting into, and this does tie into the issue of barefooting. Barefooting is an issue of body autonomy. When it comes down to people discriminating, people trying to take that away, people trying to say that we don't have this right, even though we literally do, because there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. And there are no laws or health codes or whatever against driving barefoot. It's actually statistically safer, especially than driving with flip-flops or different types of sandals or high-heeled shoes where they can get caught. And there's a lot of accident rates associated with these certain shoe types because of them getting caught in the pedal. So, you know, when people try to associate these fears with driving barefoot, like there really aren't any, because you can feel the pedal better. There's more of a more sensory awareness. And, you know, for me, as someone with autism and other people who may also have autism but also may have ADHD or some other sensory-related condition, driving barefoot helps us feel the pedal. You know, we know what's going on better. Barefooting is often a solution. It's really not a threat risk or anything, but there are threats that do impose a risk where, you know, barefooting may not be, you know, safe in those situations, depending on the factors and even depending on the person. But even like allowing children to barefoot, that is directly tied into body autonomy. But, you know, there are also rules and boundaries for safety. And I allow the kids that I nanny to barefoot as much as they're able to for themselves and as much as they're willing to choose for themselves. I don't push it. I'm pretty much barefoot all the time. The parent I watch them for, you know, like doesn't have a problem with my barefooting or anything like that. One of the other children, you know, who also is autistic, you know, especially barefoot almost all the time. But at the same time, she is very particular about when she wears shoes because probably mostly because of sensory-related things from the things that I've picked up on, although she may have a hard time explaining it at times. And that's very common with, you know, children with autism to prefer being barefoot, but then also, you know, being very particular about when they wear shoes. Well, some children with autism are more kind of the other way around, where they're more particular about wearing shoes and very specific about when they're barefoot. And it's important to understand there are sensory reasons for this. There are stimulation reasons for this. Shoes are very overstimulating for someone like me, but being barefoot can be very overstimulating for people who are also autistic, you know, and that may be something that I am also too, but they're not, you know, autistic and have sensory issues in the same way that I do. So, you know, we still have our own little wirings and our own little traits and things like that, you know, within the autism spectrum, because it is a spectrum. And the same thing goes for ADHD. And I think I forgot to let you guys know today, it is just me, Phoenix, hosting today. Audrey had some stuff that came up it's going to be just Phoenix hosting today, and I am Phoenix, if you're new here and didn't know that. But I was going to mention Audrey because, like, Audrey also has ADHD. And, you know, that's why she barefoot full time other than work when she has to, because in order to keep her job with the policy they have. And it was a policy that went into play because of an injury that happened in one of the facilities under the general, company type of thing, you could call it. I mean, it's in child education, so I don't know what you call it, but their education center. So they had an injury that happened, and I know Audrey always brings this up. It wasn't even in my center. It was in a different center, as she always says, which I would be mad too. But, you know, there was an injury that someone, sustained while barefoot in one of the other facilities or whatever, under this, education institution, I guess might be a good word for it. So because of that, this policy went forward. Now they have to wear shoes on the job, and I know that is, you know, not easy at all for Audrey, somebody who does need to barefoot for their mental and physical health, and that includes ADHD as well, because, you know, people often overlook, I think, the importance of barefooting in ADHD and autism and with sensory and stimulation issues and needs. And so for some people, barefooting can be overwhelming on a sensory level, while for other people, you know, wearing shoes, like me and Audrey, is very overwhelming on a sensory level. I can't think. It also causes a lot of issues with our own chronic physical health conditions. And, you know, so it's just like barefooting really is the best option for a lot of different issues in our health without going on too much about what that is today or anything like that, or, you know. And there are reasons, so many reasons why people barefoot, and medical reasons, including mental health, because that is still medical. That's one of the key reasons why people barefoot, honestly. And it's not the only reason why people barefoot. Cultural reasons are very key. Spiritual or religious reasons are also very key. Like those, you know, kind of are the main, aspects of why people barefoot. But these are also, you know, big categories that have so many different subcategories of why people barefoot within them. There may be five people in a room and they may all barefoot for cultural reasons, but it doesn't mean they're all belonging to the same culture. There may be five people in another room that all barefoot for the same reasons with their mental health, but that doesn't mean they barefoot for the same reasons with their mental health. Like, there are so many different types of conditions that, you know, barefooting really does help. And with, you know, sensory and stimulation issues, you know, for someone like myself, shoes are just extremely overstimulating. I already struggle to function with influx of stimulation, especially as a person who experiences a lot of chronic pain. And I, was at an event last night where I had, you know, it was a very fun time, but I was in just a lot of immense amount of pain where I just, as a person with chronic pain, like, it was definitely the highest of being able to withstand. And thankfully the place that I went to, like, it was dark lit. So a lot of the factors around it did actually help with some of my issues. But, you know, as somebody, and it was something I really wanted to go to. So it really sucked, like, having a migraine and having all this, you know, and then pain in my body. Because it kind of takes away, but there's no way I would have gotten through that at all if I was wearing shoes. Like, barefooting really helped me. If I was wearing shoes, there's no way I would have been able to get through that. They didn't have any problem or really questions or concern with me being barefoot. Nobody really thought anything of it. And the thing too is, like, there are some details I can get into that, later, but, you know, even with my autism, like, the stimulation, the sensory issues, and when my pain is at an all-time high, it was a very stressful day yesterday, and I'm having to deal with a small emergency, and that definitely added to a lot of things. As a part of my job as a nanny, after I was already basically off the clock, and there were a lot of things that, you know, really contributed to my overstimulation, my pain level, and getting really overwhelmed. But, you know, I know for a fact that barefooting really does help, because you know, if I had to put shoes on in that moment, there's no way you could have got me to. Like, they just would have been too much. Like, barefooting really helped me be able to cope with the overstimulation that I experience, because sometimes it's so much that even when I'm out in public and I'm, you know, there and it may be like a quote, you know, just a general great time, but I'm, you know, maybe struggling with overstimulation really bad or with chronic pain really bad, like, you know, barefooting is something that really helps. And, you know, I'm not saying this for pity or for people to feel bad for me or whatever. And I don't even, and it's like, I want people to understand how bad that it can be with chronic pain and overstimulation, especially when you have a lot of compacting factors. And it was just one of those really intense days that I was like, I still want to do this. So I'm going to find a way, you know, and, but I was, you know, overwhelmed. So I was like, I didn't even bring shoes. I was a little questioning if they'd even let me in with out shoes, but I just knew that day. I was like, there is no way I am going to get through this if somebody's going to make me put shoes on. I am already so overstimulated. Like, it's like, I want to scream. I'm not going to. I'm in so much pain. I want to scream. I'm not going to. But, you know, and so it's like really having to, work through those things. You know, it can be really difficult. And as crazy as it sounds, I knew in that moment, as bad as it was, like putting on shoes on will make it so much worse. And I could just, you know, and I feel like barefooting, I know barefooting really helps me. It helps me a lot physically. It helps me a lot with my autism. It helps me a lot with so many different things, within each of those things with my health and, you know, being autistic, which is also, you know, part of my health because my brain. But, like, it's just a different aspect of health. It really does help a lot. And I really encourage other people to try it, because I don't think that I, you know, can even put in enough words to get people to understand, like, how helpful and impactful barefooting really has been to my, you know, mental health, my physical health. It's a really great and easy way to accommodate for my autism and my stimulation and sensory needs. It's really not anything that's demanding, or, and it only brings attention to me when people are weird about it and they personally have a problem with it. You know, some people think that it brings a lot of attention, it brings more safety risks. And that's not always true, you know? And because the funny thing is I, you know, after this event, and because I ended up meeting up with friends there, after this event, or where was I going? With this event, you know, there, we had to go to the bathroom in, like in porta potties, and so, like, outside. And so there was, you know, some broken glass around outside, and I mean, I was standing around it. I mean, I probably stepped over some of it. I really wasn't even worried. Like, I was just like, obviously making sure I step on like big chunks or anything that might be big enough to actually, you know what I mean, with the right enough force to do something. But like the little tiny pieces or whatever else, like I really wasn't worried about it. And I know my friend, like, she didn't say anything in that moment because she like didn't want to draw attention to it, call me out, make me feel weird about it. But like, you know, when we were talking about afterwards, she was like, honestly, I got a little concerned because there was broken glass. But I was like, but you know, I trust you. And so I figured that if it was a problem, like, you would have said something. And like, you know, I know that you barefoot enough. And so, you know, it's when you actually, you know, barefoot, and it does take time to get into it. You can't just like glide right into it and to the point where you can just walk on whatever. If your feet have not been, you know, accustomed to barefooting, have not, you know, gone under the gradual process of, you know, becoming accustomed and to barefooting, then like you're going to be risking yourself more. Like, it's something that you do have to get into slow and steady. You know, you can start by just barefooting in the grass, you know, outside where you live directly, if that's a safe option for you. And if there's grass, you can start by trying to walk on the concrete right outside wherever you live. Walking on the road, just being very mindful though of the temperature. Concrete is going to be cooler than the black asphalt, which is going to, you know, attract a lot more heat. And so, you know, walking on concrete might be easier, but you also have to be careful of different, textures of concrete. And I'm saying this for beginners that, you know, want to ease into it, not to scare anybody, because like, there is like, you know, now I'm at the point where it's like,
I've been in so many situations where, like, I mean, there's still times where, like, I mean, glass, if it goes to my foot, it's usually, like, if it's, like, the most sensitive place, like, where, so I did have that happen, but it was a place on my foot where it was, like, there was no chance to develop calluses. Like, anytime I get actually, like, hurt on my feet anymore, like, it's really just, like, the tops of my feet or the sides of my feet where there is no, like, ability, or, like, the heel, like, on the, not in the bottom of my heel, but, like, you know, like, the back of it going into your ankle, like, is what I mean. Like, yeah, like, your ankle or your Achilles is, basically. Like, you know, so from being, like, somebody that goes hiking a lot, you know, with, like, bushes, any thorns, anytime any of that's happened, like, you know, that's even happened when I've worn sandals to protect the bottom of my feet, because just wearing actual shoes would be too overstimulating in those moments. So that just proves, too, that even if you wear sandals to protect the bottom of your feet, like, sandals really aren't even going to protect you from much. So the fact, and I mean, honestly, too, like, if there's something that's, you know, going to cause serious damage to your foot, like a sandal or a flip-flop is not going to protect you from that. So, you know, it's kind of crazy to me that people have more of an, you know, just are like, oh, we need to at least have sandals or flip-flops, when they're not going to protect you. If you step on a nail, that's going to go through your flip-flop. If you step on a huge nail, that's going to go through your flip-flop. And that's probably going to still go through your butt. And I'm sorry to say it doesn't scare anybody. That's not my intention. But you know what I mean? Like, there, so people that want to give all these, like, you know, like, fear stories to, you know, scare us out of barefooting. Like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Like, sandals and flip-flops aren't going to protect you from much. Plus, also, the way that flip-flops are designed, they just cause so much damage. They're, like, the worst shoe ever designed. I mean, like, podiatrists absolutely hate flip-flops, and that's not even me just saying that. Like, I've personally never been to a podiatrist in particularly, but, like, physical therapists that I've talked to will tell you, like, flip-flops are horrible. Anyone I know that's been to a physical therapist will also say the same thing. But also, going back to podiatrist thing, which is the people that specifically look at feet, and that's their specialty, because the feet are actually very complicated. There's a lot more nerves and bones. And you know, we have a lot more bones actually in our feet and toes, you know, than we actually have in most other parts in our body, because they're so small. And so, you know, like, there is a lot of stuff with the feet. The feet are also the key, really, with the lymphatic system, with the muscle skeletal system. There's a lot to do with the feet. But, you know, so podiatrists, you know, focus specifically on that, and they absolutely hate flip-flops. Audrey's been a podiatrist and could say that if she was able to be, you know, here today, you know, to, you know, talk on, you know, barefoot is legal with us. But at the same time, like, anyone else I've known has said that's been to a podiatrist and said the same thing, like, they're horrible for your feet. Like, it's not even just me and Audrey are just saying this, or just us at Barefoot is Legal, like, they're just coming up with this because we just want to be barefoot. Like, no, there's reason. It's not just like, oh, we want to break rules or we want to be rebellious or whatever else. Like, there's a reason why here at Barefoot is Legal, why we are advocating for barefooters. There's a reason why barefooting is legal. There's a reason why we are allowed to barefoot legally. There's a reason why we do barefoot. Like, it's not just about breaking rules and trying to be anti-conformity. The only reason why we're anti-conformity is because of the rules that were set in place that directly work against us. It was not like people that barefoot decide, hey, I'm just going to be rebellious to be rebellious. We're rebellious, and anybody that really is often labeled rebellious in a derogatory way, most of the time it's not that they're rebellious by choice. They are only rebellious because they are proof that the system that has been designed poorly does not work. And all it does is divide. This divide has been created by you calling people rebellious. This system is failing them. And it's really sad how we label children, teenagers, adults, any age group, but it's especially, you know, harmful with the youth, that we label anybody that the system is failing, and that the system just prove that their existence proves that the system doesn't work in any kind of way, is labeled rebellious. When it's like, people are just trying to exist. You know, I, being undiagnosed, you know, with autism, I was often labeled rebellious. And a lot of other people experience the same thing, you know, and even with me wearing shoes, I barefoot mostly, honestly, because of my autism. But then I could also say, well, I'm mostly barefoot for my physical health, because both of them are such a huge aspect of my life that, like, it's hard to explain. Like, I literally barefoot all the time. I only put on shoes when it is a general safety issue, like I'm going to somewhere dangerous, or because it's a sensory issue. And so sometimes I do have to wear, you know, shoes for my sensory issues with my autism and also with my chronic pain because of, you know, my fibromyalgia and my autism kind of like both working together to work against me. Like, so there are times where it'll be the other way, where walking on, you know, certain things, my feet are just so sensitive to. There's sometimes where I can't walk directly on concrete or asphalt, and it's mostly hard surfaces, like, but I always try to make it shoes that I can slip off and on, so I can only, you know, only need them when I'm walking directly over those surfaces that, you know, can cause more issues, and so sometimes, you know, it's, like, harder for me to go to walk on, you know, concrete, these harder surfaces, or walking on these harder surfaces, you know, will, you know, be harder on me way more in the long run than if I was barefooted on the grass or on a softer surface or like on a carpet. But we also need to take into mind that this isn't a reflection on really barefooting. It's actually a reflection on the surfaces I'm actually talking about, because concrete, there is no peaceful union of shock absorbency, between the body and concrete. I think it was not this past winter, but the winter before that, we had Meg on. I can't remember her last name, but very intelligent scientist lady who, you know, specialized in kinesthesiology and biology. And, you know, she was explaining a lot more into the science about, and I honestly would totally butcher it right now if I tried to explain it, so I'm really not even going to really try to. But she was explaining to us, with her expertise and her qualifications, and here on Barefoot is Legal. And I'll see if I can go back and find the episode date maybe at some point. I don't know. That will take a long time, I'll be honest. I'm doing this every week. And this was, you know, over a year ago. But I want to see if I can find that, because I loved having that conversation. I think about it all the time. And I think about it every time I start having issues walking on concrete surfaces, because she talked about the issue with, like, shock absorbency and how walking on concrete is a lot more harmful to the body than walking on grass and walking barefoot. And so, you know, even with shoes and the shock absorbency with concrete, like, shoes also don't even really respond well on these concrete surfaces either. And it was actually really interesting and impactful. So I hope that maybe I can go back and find this, and hopefully maybe we can even see about reaching out to her again and getting her back on here to talk about it, because it was just such helpful information. But, you know, it can be hard because, like, of my chronic pain issues, sometimes there is more of a sensitivity to surfaces like concrete. As you know, and with my, because I do have issues with my bones, with my scoliosis, my osteoarthritis. So when things are, you know, out of place and my bones are grinding together, like, walking on surfaces like concrete are a lot harder than walking in nature. Like, a lot of time if I'm walking in the grass or I'm walking in nature, like, it's crazy how much my mobility changes when I'm just really surrounded in nature on some level. Like, and but it's also proven that nature is healing. You know, with me having fibromyalgia and autism, as well as PTSD, those are all neurological conditions that involve the central nervous system. Nature is a huge, huge, amazing way to, you know, regulate the central nervous system. You know, obviously, when you're not in a survival state with nature, you know, obviously, if you're in a, you know, a survival state, that's going to be different. But when you already have, you know, are not in a survival state, and it's more of being able to commune and with the earth and, you know, and just be in nature and just embrace, you know, the healing and the peace of it and just being connected to everything. And, you know, cause, and for me, being in nature is a spiritual experience. For me, there is no more spiritual place than being in nature. There is so much beauty and oneness and togetherness within the ecosystem. I think as people, we've really disconnected ourselves from the ecosystem. Like, we act as if us and nature are two completely different things, but they're not. We are a part of nature. We were always a part of nature. Now, I get it. We don't want to live, you know, in the elements to the point that it's causing us to be sick and, you know, diseased or whatever. Like, we obviously, it's different. It's about having your needs met. You know, we, you know, shelter and stability, you know, and like, think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like that basis level physical needs. Like, you know, if those aren't met, like, nothing else will be enough and nothing else will be able to stabilize us, because we obviously do have to have, you know, those physical spaces. But at the same time, like, physical safety is so much more complicated than people realize. When you're in chronic pain all the time, that is a form of physical attack. It may not be from anybody else, but in your body on a sensory level, like, it is physical. And so getting into, like, those physiological needs with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, physiological also, you know, ties into, you know, the body, more so in the body processes. And so we definitely, you know, need air, water, food, and shelter. You know, we, you know, have to have clothing and, you know, be able to get rest and have a safe place to sleep, a safe place for rest in general. You know, just having that general shelter and having those things that, you know, we need those. But physiological needs are also aren't even just that. When you're experiencing chronic pain, when you're experiencing health issues, those are also physiological needs. Your mental health and the ways, and mental health issues and physical health issues overlap greatly. That in severe mental health cases, there are often co-occurrences or apraxia, autism, shiz, is really messing with me today. Oh my gosh. Okay, what am I trying to say? give me 1 second. Just center. I tripped over those two words so much in my head that I got derailed from where this was going. When dealing with severe, you know, mental health and psychological issues, that can cause, you know, severe health issues or even just health issues in general, ranging in severity, depending on the particular case, the person's particular body and how they're wired, their nervous system, that can cause these issues to develop. There is a strong co-coordinate between people with PTSD and autism, like myself, and people with fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis, and different inflammation disorders, which are also things that I also have. And so, you know, I'm using myself as a way, and I do sometimes, I do struggle with showing actual vulnerability, but when I talk about my issues, I don't care if you guys, if people want to judge me at this point or think that I'm annoying or if I come off needy or it's like, oh, you talk so much about yourself. I really don't care, because there are so many people like me and that have experienced the same issues as me that have been gaslit so much that I would rather just put myself out there and open myself up to criticism, because people are often very ableist, however you want to look at that or put it, whether it's about autism, whether it's, you know, towards any kind of mental health condition, or whether it's towards physical disabilities. And I have other physical issues as well than what I've even talked about today. Gotta love chronic health issues and the way they can compound, you know. And I get it. I've been gaslit my entire life. I've been experiencing issues in my health since I was a child, but they really started taking into play when I was 11. And a lot of people didn't take that seriously. And a lot of it, too, though, was because of my masking with autism. And so, you know, you do have to be careful. It's like it's a survival thing. And so when we don't have our basic physiological survival needs met, like, nothing else will see enough within that hierarchy. We're not going to have our safety needs met if our physiological needs aren't met. We aren't going to have our love and belonging needs if our physiological needs aren't met. We aren't going to have our self-esteem, self-respect, you know, even cognition and our freedom if our physiological needs aren't met. And barefooting is a very simple and easy accommodation for a lot of people with a lot of different health issues. Now, not for all. And we have to remember, too, that there are a spectrum of different health issues and conditions. Not everyone else with autism can barefoot, just like not everyone else with autism is a hyperverbal processor the way that I am, you know, and that's also how a lot of people misdiagnose and gaslight is because a lot of people forget that a lot of people, you know, with autism as well, we are hyperverbal processors and we are hyperverbal and our other issues with language and can involve time blindness with speech and to the point that it's like we may not realize like, oh, how long I've been talking. Now, with the radio show, that can often kind of work out in my favor, but sometimes it can also, you know, be a challenge when we have guests on and when we're talking about certain things. But barefooting, it really is just a simple accommodation for a lot of people with autism. But you also have to respect that different people have different sensory needs. Different people, any condition out there really is a spectrum to some degree. We are all different people. We are all different living, breathing organisms that have different compounding factors in our life that impact our individual personal experience. And we need to stop looking at these differences between us as something to war over. And instead looking at them as ways that we can each add value and some differences to our environments and to the society around us, if that makes sense. We are all individuals for a reason, and we all have our own issues. We all have our own stuff going on. And, you know, you could have been through the same type of things as the same person, but the circumstances around it could have been completely different. And we cannot also judge other people's traumas, other people's issues, and compare ourselves to them. And it can be hard when you're in your, you know, weak, wounded state to, you know, get invalidated, you know, and by other people. But you also have to remember that other people are coming to a place of their own experiences. And that doesn't justify bad behavior. That doesn't justify people that are going to criticize you. You know, like with barefooting, there are some people that are in my life that have been so accepting. They're like, yeah, it makes sense. It's an accommodation. Like they've seen the impact that you guys can't even see because all you can do is, you know, hear me talk. Like, you guys don't know what my daily life is. Like you don't actually see the impact that in such a positive, I will say, because I've, you know, I've talked about impact in a negative way, but you guys haven't seen how positively barefooting has impacted my physical health, my chronic pain, my autism, you know, coping. It's a huge technique, honestly. And that's really what it is. It's a coping technique. And a lot of people don't understand how important barefooting really is for a lot of people, too, because a lot of people with different chronic pains, different disabilities, whatever type they may be, are really, really used to having to mask it to the point that it's a survival mechanism that takes over. There are sometimes where I'm with my friends and I'm not myself. And it's not that I'm being crappy towards them, but I'm not being true to what's going on in my body or what's being true to what's going on in my experience and what I'm feeling. And because there are times where I haven't been able to because of the way that people would treat me and make me feel. And there's a lot of people that over the years, because like I didn't really get into barefooting like actually until 2020. And that was actually during my senior year of high school because I'm young. So, you know, I'm fairly young. Sorry, give me 1 second. Not where I was going with this. But no, I always barefooted as a child. Like it was something I always did. Like I would always talk about like the only time I ever got stung by a bee was stepping on bees, you know, like they never, because my parents, you know, being nature people and being people that really like try to, you know, live in touch with nature as much as possible, they really, I think that really did help. Like my upbringing really helped, honestly, in a lot of ways with my relationship with nature, despite, you know, it, me not having a perfect childhood by any means. That's one thing I do really appreciate is my relationship with nature. And both of my parents, you know, also have ADHD and autism. And, you know, so I realizing too that, and, you know, they were both diagnosed with ADHD when they were younger, but they later didn't realize because being, you know, older and this being, you know, the late 70s to early 90s period of the diagnoses within their childhood. And like, I mean, cause that makes it sound like their age difference is way more apart than it actually is, but, no, like they're only a couple of years apart in age, but you have to think of that time period, like being born, you know, at the end of the, you know, 70s going into the 1980 and then through that childhood throughout, you know, the 80s and early 90s, like our understanding of, as a society of any mental condition was honestly very primitive. You know, there are a lot of people believe that everyone with autism has an intellectual disability, but also a lot of people thought that all intellectual disabilities meant that you couldn't talk, you can't think, you don't actually have any working thoughts. When in actuality, the problem with autism is that our brains have hyperconnectivity. We have too much going on in our brains that we literally can't communicate it. Or even when we can, it's like it may come up to other people as all over the place, or especially as hyperverbal processors. People always assume that I had to have ADHD, but knowing people that ADHD, I was like, no, y'all stress me out. And I love anybody in my life that has ADHD. I really do. But the way they do things for me, like it stresses me out because they don't need a plan. They don't need a structure. And with, you know, autism, you do need a lot more of a plan and a structure. And barefooting is something that I've been able to incorporate into my coping technique plan, you know, and I've been able to put into my life to help create structure with overstimulation as well as my physical chronic, you know, pain and health issues and other physical disability issues. So, you know, there is a lot more of an important role that taking your shoes off plays than people think about. And, but we're all different people, again, different organisms living within this ecosystem. And we all have our own different experiences. There are a lot of people that cannot barefoot because of different health conditions and different, you know, whether that's mental or physical, you know, there's still medical conditions. There's still, you know, issues within their life. There's certain people with certain traumas. Again, though, going back to medical, because, you know, it is their brain. It's just getting more into that mental, emotional health, you know, that don't feel safe barefooting because of the certain things that they've been through. And I am not here to tell you guys, you have to barefoot or else you're a part of the corrupt system. That's not what I'm here to tell you because I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what your life is like. I don't know what the actual problems in your life are. So for anybody that has an issue, I don't want you guys to feel attacked because I'm not here to attack you. And I'm not here to tell you that because barefooting isn't an accommodation for you that you're doing something wrong. Because it's really important to remember that we are all different people. We all have our own different bodies. We all have our own different experiences. And living is not one size fits all. Like, not by any means. And needing to understand that we are all different people and all barefooters barefoot for different reasons. We could barefoot for quote unquote the exact same reason, you know. Someone else may barefoot. I mean, well, even Audrey, me and Audrey both have fibromyalgia, but you know, we still have our own different experiences with barefooting and mobility. And, you know, we also have our own, you know, different journeys. And so for me, you know, it was something that I always got into as a child. And I'm going to go back to the thing with the bees because I just realized for a second, maybe that didn't make sense. But, you know, the only time I ever stepped on bees was, you know, the only time I got stung by bees was when I stepped on them because I was barefooting and I would get too close to flowers and I wasn't always paying attention. And so, like, yeah, that can be, like, a risk. But, you know, at the same time, if kids are, you know, taught to be aware of watching where they step, which is something that I learned pretty quickly. It happened a couple of times when I was between the ages of 6 and 8, and then it's never happened again. Well, actually, here's a funny story. I didn't step on a bee, but actually one time I had sandals on, and it, I guess I got too close to a flower because I wasn't paying attention, like one of those little clover flowers in the grass. I got too close to it because I wasn't paying attention because I was wearing sandals. You know, this was like when I, during the first beginning of my barefoot journey, when I was still like easing in to be able to walk on the different, you know, textures and handling different elements. And it was in like the hottest point of summer, and I couldn't handle walking on hot asphalt the way that I can now. Like I can, you know, I could handle, you know, like 70, maybe like 80 degrees at the time, you know, asphalt, because I did it so much, and thinking too, because the asphalt even draws in more heat than the concrete. But I remember the summer got up. Once it got, you know, 90 or up, like I definitely couldn't. And I remember the summer too, we had 105 degree weather, but there was times, because that wasn't last summer. I think that was summer before, but I think there were times last summer where I realized, wow, I can now sustain like much hotter temperatures than I ever could before, because when your feet become accustomed to it, like it does build up and it is a journey. But, you know, I wasn't paying attention because I was wearing sandals, and I still got stung by a bee, and it was on the top of my foot. It stung me on the top of my foot. I was at the park with the kids and nanny, and I wasn't paying attention because I was wearing shoes. So sandals are not going to protect you from a bee sting. Thankfully, though, I am somebody who's not allergic to bees. So obviously, if you're allergic to bees, like that's going to be a much more intensive fear. That's going to be more reasonable than, you know, for someone like me who isn't allergic to bees. And that's not against anybody that does have phobias. You know, that is an actual condition. Like if you have a reason why these things are happening, like there's a reason. It's reasonable. Even if it's an illness, even if it's because you're unwell, there's a reason. Therefore, to some degree, it's still reasonable. It's not like you're just an unreasonable person that woke up today and decided, I'm going to be a problem. Like, no. And I think it's how people also look at just barefooters in general. And it's like, no, we're looking for an accommodation. We didn't just wake up today and go, I'm going to be a problem. Ha, ha, ha. I love being rebellious. It's like, no, like a lot of us, like me and Audrey talked about this in our personal life, where sometimes it's like, we're tired of being rebellious. And it has nothing to do with like, because we're letting people win or bring us down or we care about their opinion. It's just because I'm tired. I don't have the energy to argue. Because also, too, people need to understand that for people, you know, especially women with ADHD and autism, you know, experiences with, you know, meltdown behaviors with the social training, especially where we often have to, you know, fence ourselves and have had to learn and have had to go under survival, like literally just the survival that kicks in to protect yourself, forced masking is, you know, the same way that disassociation occurs. And that also occurs in ADHD and autism as a survival mechanism. The way that some people disassociate when certain things are happening as a survival mechanism, you know, it's the same thing. And with masking, it's a survival technique that we can sometimes have control over it, but there's a lot of times where we don't, and it's hard because like, I'll be disconnected from my friends and the people that I'm in an experience with because of the overstimulation or the other things or surrounded that has nothing to do with them or just things going on with my body. Again, those physiological needs, if our physiological needs aren't met, safety needs aren't going to be met, love and belonging needs aren't going to be met, and self-esteem belongs. And it has nothing to do with people around me, and it has nothing to do with the love that I'm still, you know, receiving on some level from them. But, you know, we need to understand that, like, our physical health and our medical health in general, physiological, and physiological also does have to do with, you know, mental as well. Physiological gets into a lot of the overlap between the physical and between the physical and the psychological, because those things can both be biological. You know, now there are some components of psychology that are more of a mental self-imposed prison that you probably didn't put yourself there, but someone else, you know, did in your childhood, and now you're the only thing holding you back. But there's a complex around there that you have to work through. You know, that may not necessarily be 100% biological, but with a lot of mental conditions, and also when you go through traumas, that creates a biological response that then is going to trigger, you know, more biological responses within the body. You know, these are biological things, and If we're not in touch with listening to our bodies and making those accommodations, and barefooting can be really a simple one, a lot more issues can occur, and it can be a lot hard to sorry, there was something else I was going to add and I to this, and I got a little... Oh, and I just realized I was supposed to run ad breaks in general. I'll go ahead and run a quick ad break. I was supposed to run one at 2, and I'm supposed to run one at 2:30. Since it's 2:37 now, I'll go ahead and run the ad break now and then be back in a couple minutes and see if I can get my brain on track and plus make sure that I'm running the ads as needed. So to everyone listening, I hope that you're living your best barefoot lifestyle in some way. Just keep being yourself, and remember, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. You're not doing anything wrong. Keep doing what's right for you and your body and accommodating for yourself however you can for your safety, because safety isn't just what's in your physical environment. It is what is going on in your body. Like what I was saying with chronic pain, with trauma, with all these different things that affect the central nervous system, they're releasing hormones that get into the flight responses or the freeze responses. There's even fawning responses that are more associated, even especially with autism in a female set of birth people. But getting into these different fight or flight, freeze or fawning responses, getting into these adrenaline, cortisol, all these other influx of neurotransmitters that are biological chemicals that are being pumped through your brain due to your central nervous system's reaction to the general environment you are in within your physical body as well as within the physical world around you. And so if you have a condition, you know, like fibromyalgia, a lot of people misunderstand it, and it has been one that's really misunderstood for a while because it's a neurological condition. And the thing is, people always like talk about how like, oh, it's psychosomatic. Well, it's a neurological condition. It's a misfiring of the nerves. You know, it's an issue within the central nervous system. It's actually quite very similar to PTSD. And well, the biggest correlation to developing it, especially in female signed at birth people, especially in women demographics, is PTSD or trauma. And so, or some other underlying issue with the central nervous system. And like autism is also correlated even without trauma. And so it is a neurological condition, but there are people that can go through bad enough things that they end up also triggering fibromyalgia because of the neurological responses. But in general, the things that we are experiencing within our physical bodies and within our lives can cause an impact on our central nervous system. And barefooting is really helpful to regulating the central nervous system. There are a lot of nerves in the feet that lead to everywhere else in the body, getting back into that central nervous system. The lymphatic system is, and the pituitary gland system is also very centered around the feet, as well as other parts in the body. But there's a lot of importance around the feet. So I'm going to go ahead and run this ad break right now. But remember, keep living your best lifestyle and do what you need to do for you. And there's so much science behind it.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media. Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think, if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of the barefoot lifestyle, as well as just giving support, providing general information, sharing different aspects and different facets of barefooting and different ongoing, you know, social issues that may also surround barefooting. You know, I feel like we get into kind of a wide variety range of topics. You know, sometimes it may not always seem on the surface, like, how does this relate to barefooting? But I think that's also because people don't understand how just how complicated barefooting is, how multifaceted it is. People barefoot for medical reasons. People barefoot for spiritual and religious reasons. People barefoot for cultural reasons. And there's so many different reasons within those categories. A lot of people are just uncomfortable wearing shoes, and that's why they don't wear them. A lot of people just want to feel closer to the earth on some level by not wearing them. And, you know, I think it's really harmful at the way that we look at ourselves as being disconnected from nature, as if we're something that's not actually a part of it. When we are natural beings, we are a part of the earth. And yes, we should have higher standards for our way of living and treating each other than animals. But the ironic thing is, it seems like almost the more we modernize, it's like the more we start to treat each other like animals in this system of only caring about money and taking in each other's needs, that we, in our attempt to say that we are better than animals, we are actually proving that we aren't. And people want to say, like, oh, animals, you know, war, at, you know, with each other, and will kill each other too. Okay, but animals don't do that to their own, you know, group, at least not usually with good reason. I mean, and even then, they're animals. So that's like, if we're going to say that animals have lower consciousness, then how are you going to justify acting more lower consciously by not, you know, taking care of your own community? A lot of different animal packs, like, they hunt together as a group, and they eat together as a group. A lot of communities, there is no group ideology. There is no community often. There often really isn't any love. And it seems like when this whole modernization of, you know, it seems all about safety. So again, going back to this physiological needs and those sense of safety, physical safety, safety on a body level. You know, this is barefooting is a simple accommodation that can make a lot of different people with a lot of different illnesses and issues feel more safe. And it's really important to listen to each other, allow each other to exist, give each other the space to exist. I think a lot of people are just so broken from the sense of there's no community. You know, I think that it makes it, that's why, you know, a lot, it's mental health issues have, you know, skyrocketed a lot is, you know, mental health issues have always been here, but when there is such a, and of course there, you know, there used to not be as much social awareness, but when people used to have communities and support systems at different points in history, like that were very tied into, you know, small communities that, you know, lived and took care of each other, because it's like when my great grandparents talk about, you know, well, my great grandmother is actually dead, but now in recent years, but when my great grandparents and my great grandfather's still alive, but when hearing them always talk about their experiences in community where they grew up, and you know, my grandfather is 90, 91, and so yes, there was a lot of harmful things, but outside of their community, it wasn't like that. And, you know, in the same way. And so, you know, it's like there were and have been points of communities where they took care of each other and their neighbors and people. And, you know, yeah, they may not have been aware on mental health, but at the same time, like, they just believed in taking care of each other. And when we have support systems and we have a system of taking care of each other, that improves our mental health, and that helps us to be able to combat and overcome mental health issues. And so, you know, mental health issues have been just plummeting because, the numbers aren't plummeting, but people's mental health is plummeting, causing the numbers of mental health, you know, issues and crises to skyrocket because of the lack of community. But in a lot of ways, you know, the internet and young people and, you know, millennials and I mean, millennials, yes, they're getting older or whatever, but like, you know, millennials and, you know, even older Gen Zs and even the children Gen Zs, you know, I'm 21 and they just really impressed me. Just the, you know, way that community is starting to try to be created from the youth to restore and also transcend upon any level of community that we've ever had. A lot of that has, you know, gone a long way with the internet and with technology. And so I do have a lot of faith in my generation and the generation, younger generations around my generation, to really bring back and restore community. Because I feel like once, after all these wars happened and then, you know, the economy was doing well, there was a time of privilege where people didn't need their neighbors to support them anymore. Once there was a time period where, you know, things, you know, got better and people for a little while and people, you know, and they didn't have to, during that time period, you know, the mainstream, now of course marginalized communities still had to have, you know, their protection against outside oppressors. But at the same time, you know, that's why their communities, you know, had such strong ties to each other and had them was overcoming hardship together. A lot of marginalized communities, despite their oppression, are the perfect prime example of actual community because they've come together despite hardship to, you know, overcome it and to support each other. And that's why community is so important, because when we have community, we are able to overcome things. And that's why, you know, Barefoot is Legal and community is so important here. And I hope, you know, that we can start expanding community, you know, here, even in on the, you know, actual physical environment, to be able to kind of get Barefoot together. And that's something that's, you know, going to have to come play together. You know, unfortunately, you know, COVID is still something that is ongoing. And, you know, there are still, you know, risks with getting groups together, but, you know, community really is so important, and community makes it a lot easier to combat any issue in your life, whether that's mental, physical, or some kind of oppressive structure or maltreatment. So it's really important for people to come back together and focus on community and uplifting, loving, and supporting. Not loving people in the way that you think that they should be loved, or how they should accept love, or how you think they need to be or act, or what they need to do or be to be worthy of love. You can have your boundaries. Set your boundaries. Those are completely valid. You know, you can have your own boundaries. Everyone deserves to be respected. But when you are overstepping other people's rights and body autonomy, sense of identity, sense of self well-being, sense of purpose, sense of just existence, for your own ideology of what is love in your head, that isn't right. And so we need to have actual love and humanity with each other, but that doesn't mean don't stand up to just blatant hate, you know, because there is a lot of hate out there, and that's why, and there's a lot of, you know, issues in general with violence out there, and that's why it's so important for people to have community. And so, you know, I was talking about before about how, you know, hoping that we can kind of expand Barefoot is Legal further and start getting, you know, communities even in physical environments, and making sure people are safe and maintaining a level of safety. Because safety is the most important aspect of community. You're not going to have a real community if you aren't safe and you don't feel safe. And I think that's why so many people feel so disenfranchised, so disconnected from their own physical environments and their own physical reality, because there is no sense of community and safety on the way that it needs to exist and it needs to occur. And it's dangerous. You know, when we have the support we need, it's a lot easier to combat these things. And I get it. There are people out there that, you know, don't see the point in things like Barefoot is Legal because they don't see the point in barefooting. Well, other people may not see the point because they actually don't see the problem with barefooting, where there's also kind of a blindness there, where because they also may not see a problem with it, but may not do it themselves, they are not aware to the type of harmful attitudes, rhetoric, and propaganda. Those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs are illegal. There are no laws or health codes, again, against barefooting in the United States or against driving. And so if a store tells you that there is a policy against barefooting and they are open to the public, bull crap. Doesn't matter if they're a small business. If they're open to the public, they are a public space. They are functioning as a public space. Therefore, under the law, they cannot discriminate you against barefooting. And I get it. Some people are going to want to argue, and that's why try to stay as calm as possible. You escalate, the situation will escalate. And that's not to, you know, take away from your frustrations, your pain, whatever you're feeling, that is completely valid. That is not to, you know, censor you. But it's in order to help you maintain a level of control over yourself within the situation in order to have, you know, safety and get your message across. You know, so whenever people kind of come at me with that, like, I just combat it with, you know, there are no, and it's hard because people can say so many different things, but so it may need reworded, keep in mind, but I'm always like, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. That there is no store policy against it because this is a public space. And if it's a small business, even go in and add that. Just because you're a small business doesn't mean that you are a private entity, or because you are functioning as a public space, therefore I am legally allowed to barefoot here because there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. If you are a public space open to the public for business of any kind or just a public space in general, it is illegal for you to have a policy against barefooting. And you can even say, show me the policy. Show me where it is in the policy. You know, I usually don't give money to places that will do that, so I make a point of that. I'll be like, you know what, I'm not going to be bullied, but I'm also not going to give my money to a quote-unquote establishment that is going to be breaking the law by telling me I can't be barefooting here. And you could say, you know, if you're someone that's ADHD or autism, you know, you could say something like that, like, you know, or you can, you know, say, like, oh, I barefoot for my medical health, or I barefoot for spiritual reasons or cultural reasons. And those are protected rights. Your medical health issues stuff, you know, that is protected. Your religious, spiritual, anything like that, protected. Your cultural practices and heritage, okay, protected rights. So under, you know, this general act regarding discrimination, it is illegal for people to discriminate against you for your medical, cultural, religious, spiritual beliefs, practices, needs, or accommodations. It is. Therefore, you are not doing anything wrong. It is really important to stand up for yourself and remember that you do not owe anybody an explanation. You don't owe anybody anything. You don't owe anybody a further explanation on what is going on with you. You don't. But you can kind of lead with that. And if you lead with that, like, that can put, kind of help, maybe not lead with that in the sense that first bring up, you know, maybe if you want to bring up the laws or health codes first. But if you even lead with that, like, oh, well, I barefoot for my physical health, I barefoot for my spiritual health or medical reasons, if they try to push further or question you further on that, that is illegal. They're violating your protected rights. And so I would bring that up to them. So if you mention those things like, oh, I barefoot for medical reasons, and they ask, well, what's your medical reason? You've got them right there. Because already right there, what they're asking is illegal as a and it may be not necessarily for, like, another store shopper for them to, you know, say that, but for a store employee, a store manager, anybody working for or owning or in affiliation with the store on a money level, it is illegal for them to, you know, discriminate against your medical, spiritual, whatever, so any of those rights we talked about. So if you say, hey, I barefoot because of my medical reasons, they ask why? You just, let's say, I don't think you realize that what you just asked is illegal because you are discriminating against my medical right to be able to barefoot. I could get this, I could write something up because, again, you want it in writing. Right? Verbal threats really don't mean much. Calling on the phone doesn't mean much. Now, you can find out information by calling in. You can find out things by engaging in a debate, kind of see what information you can get out of them, what things they can say, and kind of, you know, catch them up on it. But, and that's not me trying to be like manipulative, but to be smart and like resourceful, you know, get as much information as you can, but you want this in writing, even electronic writing. And I would make sure you have a copy too, that you write up yourself, that you can get typed up, and that you can mail, that you can email, whatever. If it's really a bad enough issue and you really want to push, I mean, you can. And writing is what's going to freak them out, because there's a paper trail. There's electronic paper trail. And if that ever goes to court and things are subpoenaed, like, you're more likely to deal with issues. There's a lot of stuff where there's a lot more to it than I'm even going to have time to get in today. But in general, electronic in writing for any legal issues does really work out in your favor to some degree. So, I mean, that can be dangerous too. And that's why, like, you know, you do have to learn what kind of people you are sharing information with. But at the same time, if you get that stuff in writing, like, that's how I would report it. I wouldn't just call in to report something. Maybe call in, see what their response is, get some information that you can utilize from that interaction. But at the same time, like, you're going to want to send an email or send in a letter and, you know, have some kind of paper trail involved. But I mean, electronic is probably a better way to go with a lot of things in general, depending on what the general issue is with who you're mailing. But if they try to push, you can, and I'm not saying this as a threat. I'm not saying, and I don't want to say, oh, you're threatening to start a law case. No, you're setting a boundary. If you tell them, hey, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in a public space, this place is open to the public, and I, you know, barefoot for my medical reasons, or for myself, I could say, you know, I barefoot for my autism. And they say, but again, you know, they could try to invalidate the autism thing. But again, if they ask particular, or they try to discriminate against your reason, like, well, you don't seem like you have this, or you don't seem like this or that, which is funny because it's like, yeah, because this accommodation called barefooting helps me be able to interact better and socially. So it's less obvious, which is the ironic thing. And for the same thing for a lot of people that are using it as a coping mechanism. So don't let that invalidate you in your strength. But just if they ask or try to invalidate, be like, I don't think you want to go there, because right now you are violating my American rights. And if you want to push this further, I can, and if necessary, will take you to court. Do you really want to do this? And I would, now again, if you're in an area where you have a lot of off, may not be necessary, especially depending on how intensive the case is, because this is also general information that, you know, again, you may be able to apply this, you know, with going to court and bringing up your rights. If the discrimination is something more than them just questioning you, if there's, you know, some more direct harassment, it may also be more warranted and more needed for, you know, the damages caused. But at the same time, just setting that kind of like legal boundary and reminding them and keeping them in check with the law, that's going to be your biggest strength in standing up for your barefooting. Unfortunately, most people do not care about what's going on with you if you're a stranger, which is really kind of sad, again, going back to the community issue. So if you kind of set that legal boundary with them and kind of keep them in check, then whole different. Now, I would be careful. You know, don't come off too threatening either, just in general. And I'm just the legal thing, but just try not to come off too threatening. That's not saying don't minimize yourself, that you're not allowed to stand up for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. It's not that you're not allowed to stand up for yourself or be mad or, you know, have a reaction. But I'm saying this for your safety, because unfortunately, some people, especially if you are part of other marginalized communities, you're going to be more at risk for, you know, discrimination and things ending poorly. That, depending on the situation, I always try to not escalate things too further for physical safety in order to maintain that level of physical safety, because you don't know how crazy some people are. At the end of the day, you really don't know how crazy some people are. And that's why I personally like to play it safe, because I've been in a lot of, you know, crazy situations that I'm not going to talk about just in general in my life. But, and that's not to scare you. So just reminding you to stand up for yourself, to know your strength and know your power while still being able to have that balance within protection. And, you know, it doesn't justify, because unfortunately we shouldn't have to monitor and minimize our own reactions to such an extent you know, that we allow ourselves to be harmed. So that's why I'm saying, take those boundaries, stand up for yourself. So manage your own reaction. Don't do it for that other person. Manage your reaction only for yourself and for your outcome, in the sense of, you know, this person may have done something that was really wrong, but maintaining a level of calm, not to protect them, but to maintain the type of level-headedness of the type of person you want to be, to make sure you get your point across, that you get your message across and stand up for yourself effectively, rather than it resulting into a needless conflict. So definitely stand up for yourself. And that's why I think it's good to have kind of like that legal boundary set and be like, hey, I am not going to be discriminated against. If you want to go, we can go. But at the same time, you know, there are different things. If you have more options in your area, then, you know, it may not be necessary to keep going to the same store, you know, just, you know, maybe find those places whose people who, what people you actually, what businesses you actually want to give your money to, because they are supporting, you know, certain communities and they're actually, you know, uplifting community, or because, you know, they don't discriminate against you. It could be as simple as that, you know, which seems like honestly the bare minimum, which is why I don't believe in giving money to anybody that discriminates. And so I do, you know, think that we should report these issues. Now, if it's just an issue though, of lack of information, that's why we want to first start off with giving that information. Because if it's just an issue of lack of information, if we give that information, then we can combat that. And, you know, maybe then they'll be like, oh, okay. But if they're still willfully ignorant and pressing further, that's when I would start coming in with that, you know, legal boundary in mind. And if things escalate further, then I would definitely consider following through, or definitely following through regarding the circumstances. So remember that you can stand up for yourself and be calm, level, and be the person you want to be without letting people walk all over you and take advantage of you, because there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. And barefooting, it is an issue of body autonomy. There are a lot of issues with body autonomy happening in this country right now. And we need to stand up for ourselves and stand up for others and try to focus on coming together as communities. Even if you don't have these community similarities in the sense that we see, you know, in society, if there are people within your physical community, you know, focus on coming together to uplift each other and help each other feel safe. You deserve love and respect, and, you know, we deserve to stand up for ourselves without being discriminated against or talked down to. So, you know, we're about to wrap up here. Got about 20 seconds left. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. This is Here with Barefoot is Legal. I am Phoenix. Take care, and you can listen to us next week. Check us out on Instagram @RealBarefootIsLegal, and take care, folks.